to Side.
Spend the day with Side.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, till now you have heard the afternoon satsang by brothers Prem and Sai Prakash. It's now time for us to go to the next segment of this Thursday Live. And this is Ganesh inviting you all to yet another episode of the Veda Jignasa program.
Dear listeners, today as a part of the Veda Jignasa program, we have a special talk for you.
You will listen to a talk by Sri M.A. Lakshmi Tatachar. This was delivered as a part of the series of talks as a part of the Veda Poshana program conducted by the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations, Karnataka.
We shall commence today's episode with the Ganapati Prarthana Mantram.
गणानांत्वा गणपति गुम हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रुण्वन्नोतिभिः सीदसादनं प्रणो देवी सरस्वती वाजेभिर्वाजिनीवती धीनामवित्रियवतु गणेशाय नमः सरस्वत्यै नमः श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम.
So invoking Bhagwan's divine presence and blessings, and with a thought that every thought, word and deed is his inspiration,
let us all listen to this erudite talk
by Sri M.A. Lakshmi Tatachar.
Professor Dr. M.A. Lakshmi Tatachar is a traditional Sanskrit scholar who specializes in all the Indian knowledge systems. He has dedicated his life to prove to the world the modern relevance of these knowledge systems to fields as varied as information technology, agriculture, horticulture, and so on. He has edited, authored more than 100 various publications. He has taught at the postgraduate and doctoral levels and established several institutes of national and international repute. Presently, he heads the Samskriti Foundation at Mysore and is actively engaged in research work and spreading awareness about the importance and significance of the traditional Indian knowledge systems. He received an award from the President of India for outstanding scholarship in Sanskrit and contribution to build a bridge between the ancient knowledge systems and modern science. We are very fortunate to have you, sir, in our midst today. We request you, sir, to give us the keynote address on the science behind Vedas.
Vyakhyam gram karasarasite pustakam shankachakre vibhratinna spritikal chale pundarike shannaha mangalashri amrita vishadairam subhipta vayumam Respected Jnanavrittas, Vaibhavrittas, and also devotees of this, I am extremely happy to be here on this occasion, particularly which is thriving very seriously to develop Vedas or Veda Poshana. and I think Veda Purnima is a must if India has to survive. Without Vedas, India cannot survive. India cannot survive God. Then many times people say, what is the use of the Vedas? There are few Vedic scholars who are always ignored by the people. Many times when the religious functions take place, they will be used, they will be respected, they will be prostrated. But at the same time, as soon as the religious function is over, they are thrown out just like the banana leaves after eating them. This should not happen. The main problem with regard to Vedic studies is, according to me, the mechanized education system which was tried. And Macaulay, in his letter to the British Parliament, says very clearly, I have opened a school in Calcutta where 1600 students were studying. All of them are having Bible in their hands. I envisage that within 330 years, every Indian will have a Bible in his hand. On the other hand, just like our Swamiji, we should envisage that every Indian should have a Veda, a Vedic book or Veda, Vedic text in his hand. That should be our goal or objective. When I am thinking of the study of the Vedas, I am so much enamored of the Vedas just because Vedas help us to do multitasking. Many people do not understand how the Vedas have to be studied or they have forgotten about it. Vedic tradition is considered to be an oral tradition, not a written tradition. And once upon a time, it was thought, if you commit Vedas into writing, you are committing a crime. That means it should be online, it should not be offline. Nowadays, even people who study the Vedas will have books. That means it is offline according to me, not online. So from that point of view, how we were able to preserve the Vedic tradition, that's what I want to say. I don't know whether you have heard of Mr. Narasimhan, who was earlier chief of the CMC. And he has written a beautiful article about the oral tradition. And he has also written about how Vedas were preserved. Probably, you might have come across some games which are played. One of them is a Chinese game where 8 or 10 people will sit in the form of a circle. I will whisper one thing into my neighbor's ears, and then he will convey that to me, his neighbor. He whispers again, and when it comes back to me, if it has passed through at least 10 people, I get a very totally distorted version of what I have communicated. If you think of the Vedic studies, probably for the last 10,000 years, we have preserved the same patha or the recension of the Vedas. Hardly there are some changes. Some of them are called the Dravida patha and also Andhra patha. Minor changes have taken place. How we are able to preserve all these books without writing? And UNESCO has recognized this oral tradition as a world heritage. You must understand that. Because for the last 10,000 years, how our predecessors have struggled and preserved the Vedic tradition, oral tradition alive. And it is called Guru Charana Anucharana. When the Guru says, Padram Kanne Bhishrudu Yamadevaha, then immediately the Shishya should recite it twice. It is Guru Charana Purvaka Anu Uccharana. So in that way we have preserved. It was not written, but still the text did not get distorted. As I said, when a message is conveyed through somebody, if it passes through 10 people, when it comes back to me, it is distorted within 15 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 minutes. For a period of 10,000 years, we have preserved these texts properly, you must understand. Then, one more interesting thing is, how to study the Vedas? Nowadays, even teachers will have books while they are teaching the Vedas. Am I right or not? I think should even today the books have to be completely avoided. And after the McCullough education system, we are more worried about the graphics. And the eyes are more important than the ears. When you admit your child to the kindergarten, the first thing will be taught or she will be taught is A stands for apple or something. They will show the graphics of A, the orthographic representation of the sound of A. What exactly is the sound of A? I don't know in English perfectly. Is it A or A? I don't know. That's entirely different issue. And Vedas excel in all these things, different. Then we start with something, we show an apple and show a graphic. And to teach the sound of A, we have to teach the orthographic representation of that the line should come like this, and then it represents a particular object. Whereas, while we were teaching the stotras to our own children earlier, according to the Vedic tradition, we would never expose them to graphics immediately. On the other hand, the sound was conveyed directly to the brain, and the mind and the child should grasp the sound and then repeat it. So we are directly going into the sound. If you go through the science of India, sound is associated with Akasha. There is the theory of the Panchamahabhutas, Prithivi, Ap, Tejaha, Vayu and Akasha. Akasha is the highest level of the Panchamahabhutas. So, we initiate education through the sound, not by writing. And directly sounds are conceived or consumed, and then what happens is reproduced. And these sound wave patterns have got such a wonderful impact on the brain. Regarding that, I will show you some videos which I have collected from internet only. It is not mine. Anyway, they are very interesting. I will show you later. So, in this way, directly there should be the communication of the sound. That's why Ramananda Acharya, when he writes in his Sri Bhashya, he clearly says, Ashtavarsham Brahmanam Upanayita. When I say Brahmana, immediately don't mistake it as Brahmana, etc. On the other hand, those who are fit to receive the Vedas, Brahma is actually Veda. In Shastras it is said, Brahma is nothing but the Vedas. Those who are fit to receive the Vedas should be given Ashtavarsham Brahmanam Upanayita, Tam Adhyapayetiti. Vedakya akshara rasehe grahanam vidhiyate. This particular portion is very important. If it is Vedic study, it is akshara rase grahanam first. Don't bother about the meaning in the initial stages. It is grasping of the sounds, Vedic sounds. There are such wonderful sounds. In the Mimamsa Shastra, they have been very clearly stated. This Anupurvi Nityatva is very important. If you say Agnimi Nile Prohitam Vignasya Deva Matvidam Potaharam, etc. Even if you say Ile Prohitam, etc., the meaning will not change, because in Sanskrit syntax is so perfect. But that sequence is very important. Sequence is eternal, that's what they say. That means the sound combination should be in that particular sequence only. Agni Mele Purva, not Yile Agni Purva. Though the meaning does not change. Then what happens? You are producing such sound vibrations which will have such a wonderful impact on the brain. On the other hand, if you produce the impact of Yile first and then Agni later, probably it may have a bad effect also. Hundreds and thousands of experiments have to be conducted with regard to these things, that's what I'm telling you. Who are doing it? And we must have a wonderful lab. Nowadays, modern science has progressed so much. And we can also understand how these sounds will have an impact on the brain. What sort of neurons are fired when these thumbs are heard. What sort of neurons are fired when you are generating these sounds again? In the portion which is meant for speech in our brain, there are three parts. One for hearing, and other one for remembering, and other one for reproducing. In the Guru Charana, Anucharana Paddhati, we have got scope for all these things. First, when the teacher is chanting, what happens? The Shishya hears. Then what happens? He remembers whatever he has heard, and then he reproduces. That means all these three parts are activated. But have we conducted any experiments to see what happens when these very chantings are given and different mantras are given, and when the different mantras are chanted? And even with regard to chanting, there are so many rules and regulations, I come to that. And while you study the Vedas, I think it increases enormously your brain power. You will be more creative. Your intelligence will increase, your memory power will increase. Nowadays, we are worried about the memory power of the computers. But we are not worried about the memory power of the human systems. How many people are worried about that? And all the examination systems are designed to destroy your memory power. If I am wrong, you please raise some objection. I don't want to say, you should not say anything about what I say. Formerly we had the yearly education system, now we have got semester systems. So that the student can conveniently forget as soon as that exam is done, whatever he has said. And all the information which is given to you is also meant for forgetting, according to you. Because as soon as you admit your student to the kindergarten, what they will teach? They will say, Jark and Jill went up the hill, etc., Baba, Black Sheep, etc. Then all those things. And when the child recites this before the mother or parents, then they will be overwhelmed. Wonderful, how beautiful it chants. Suppose he grows up and at the age of 15 or 20, he recites before you, Jack and Jill went up the hill, etc., what you will do? You will just laugh at him. Because it was meant for forgetting, not remembering. On the other hand, suppose you teach a nursery rhyme like Angana, Mangana, Mandale, Madhavo, 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 Chantare, Angana, just like this. This Rasleela climax is something if you chant that. Suppose you chant it at the age of 80 also, nobody will laugh at you. So Vedas have two important. Not only you should forget the sounds, you should never forget the contents of the Vedas also. Sounds have their own Shabda Shakti, and these sounds have got their own Artha Shakti. In addition to that, if you go to the highest level, they have got the Bhava Shakti also. Vedas have to be studied at these three levels. These are all macro levels according to me. I don't want to go into those details. With regard to each one, I have to give details nearly for 15 minutes or 20 minutes because the time is limited, I will not go to that. Now I want to say that if you want to learn the Vedas, you have to do multitasking. And properly, you cannot come across persons who do all the multitasking when they are learning the Vedas. In Karnataka, probably this Hastachalana is completely forgotten. Do you know what is Hastachalana? I don't know how to do it. I have seen people doing it in Madhya Pradesh and so many other places. Udatta, Anudatta, Swarita should be indicated by means of raising the hand and lowering the hand. And then when you are chanting, different letters, different fingers have been moved. How many people know about it? And not only that, you should also be careful about the accents. Udatta Anudatta Svarita. If you make one small mistake, probably it may result in disaster. Many people might have heard Yathendra Shatru Svarato Parathad Savat Vajro Yajaman Hinasti Indra Shatru Vardhasva or Indra Shatru Vardhasva, which is correct. If you don't know the music or if you don't know the swaras properly, if you miss a spell, a particular swara, then what happens? It will result in disaster. That's what happened to this Diti. Diti wanted to have a child which will kill Indra, because Indra was killing all the daityas. At that time, she performed a yaga. While the yaga was performed, she was offering the oblation into the fire, said Indra Shatro Vardhasva. The enemy of Indra should grow further and we should destroy the Indra. But unfortunately, just because the swara was not properly pronounced, then what happens? It meant the semantic analysis will be totally different, slightly this one, swara changes. So it meant Indra, who is the Shatru of her own son, he should grow. He grew and ultimately entered into the womb and he destroyed the fetus itself completely. That is the story. Savat Vajraha Yajamanam Hinasti. If any person is doing sacrifice, if the mantras are not chanted properly according to the proper accent, then that Vat Vajraha, it is just like a thunderbolt. It will destroy the Yajamana or the sacrifice. So how much of responsibility is there by the learning Vedas? That's what I tell you. And further I want to tell you, if you want to go to the micro level, what we have to do is, it is just like this, it is called Varnakrama. I have done some analysis about that. Before that, I will tell you one interesting episode which happened with regard to this Varnakrama. I did some research on speech synthesis and speech recognition in Sanskrit using Pardinian parameters. So while I was doing this, I was interacting with so many people. Dr. Yajna Narayana, probably many of you might have heard, was in Indian Institute of Science. Later he was in Madras, IIT Madras. And he recognizes me and he respects me. Just because I gave him some information which was given by Pandya, not by me. Both of us were sitting in Central Institute for Indian Languages. Incidentally, he said, Lakshmi Dasar, we must do syllabic tagging of the speech database. Just like any other Sanskrit pandit, immediately I told him, sir, why unnecessarily read with the Vedas, read with the Veda. Immediately he flared up and said, you Sanskrit scholars and Sanskrit pandits are always like this. You always say, it has already been done, etc. I don't agree with this. Then I said, I am not a Sanskrit scholar or a pandit. I am a student of Sanskrit. But I am a totally different type of student of Sanskrit. In Kannada, there is a beautiful statement, Pratyakshavadaru Pramanisinodu. I will do that. That is my attitude. So don't blame me. Today I will not have any more discussions with you. I will give you an audio cassette. Please listen to that and come back to me. I gave him an audio cassette and he came back to me second day after listening to that. And he prostrated before me and said, hats off to you, Lakshmi Dasar Pandit. Then I said, why? No, wonderful thing. What you said is correct. I fully agree. Then I said, you should not say hats off to me. You should say hats off to Pandit. This is not the contribution of Lakshmi Dasar, it's the contribution of Pandit. Just he has shown you this. So from that point of view, what happened? I had given him a cassette in which the Varnakrama is recited. If you want to say Om Namo Vishnave, is this statement. This has to be learned. There are five levels. I know only three levels in present. So first level is Nakarotra, Karotra, Makarotra, Vokarotra, Vakarotra, Ikarotra, Shakarotra, Nakarotra, Akarotra, Vakarotra, Ekara. I have to split all the syllables like this. Then, to produce each sound, they have got seven parameters prescribed by Pandya. It is Udatta Swara, Anudatta Swara, or Swaritaswara. Accents you must know. And you should not, you should also know the place of birth of that particular letter in your speech box. And you should also know the Vahya Prayatna and Abhyantara Prayatna, that means the efforts that are required to pronounce a particular letter, the preparatory activities, and then actually when you are presenting, you do certain activities, that is called Antara Prayatna, Vahya Prayatna and Abhyantara Prayatna. And you should also know the whether it is Mahaprana or Alpaprana. When you are pronouncing Palasha, if you say Palasha, Palasha means a person who eats meat. Palasha means a person who eats fruit. So we are converting a rishi into a demon. That should not happen. Just because you mispronounce the Mahaprana and Alpaprana. This one. In addition to that, the duration of that particular letter, that is Ekamatra Kala or Dvimatra Kala, Trimatra Kala, etc. In this way, 7 parameters have been prescribed with regard to the pronunciation of each letter. So, what you have to say is, when you say Om Namo Vishnave, Na, this is the Vahya Prayatna, this is the Abhyantara Prayatna, all these things you have to recite in the second level. And then you should also mention about the Angami Bhava, etc. That means whether Nakara is subservient to Akara or Akara is subservient to Nakara. N plus A is there, you know. Namo. In that way, with regard to each letter, you have to say. So, suppose you want to specialize or learn one particular branch like this, how many years of tapas or penance you require in this term? You may say it's impossible. But that was the dedication of our forefathers. Our predecessors had struggled so much to preserve the knowledge by means of the sounds, not by means of writing. For the last 10,000 years, if we are abandoning them, if we allow them to be destroyed, then are we not committing a great sin? Is it not a heinous crime on our part to kill them? So, from that point of view, I say, Vedic studies are very important. Then he said, syllabic attacking has already been done, I do agree. And afterwards, you know what he did? Whenever he used to refer to speech synthesis and speech recognition in India, which is done from the point of view of Sanskrit, immediately he would say, there is one great person like Lakshmitajar who can do this, no other person in India can do it. I am not saying I am such a great person. On the other hand, I become such a great person only because of Panini, because of the arms I have got from Panini. Realize the greatness of those people. This is one small thing which I have given to the Yajnarayana. There are hundreds and thousands of things. I studied Pratishakya. Your Vedas, Vedic studies will be incomplete without the study of the Angas. Most of the people do not know there are Angas or subsidiary subjects of the Vedas. So what do you have to do? Can we study Shiksha? If you want to study Shiksha, there are more than 74 texts available on Shiksha. I think if you begin to study the Vedas and if you begin to acquire the knowledge of the Vedas also, probably one lifetime is not required. That's why in the Shastras it is stated, Ekasmin Janmani Ekameva Shastra. So we require people who dedicate themselves for the study of the Vedas in such a wonderful manner. And they cannot do anything else. They cannot go to professions, they cannot be IT professionals and they say, I do. That means Veda is a pastime for you, it is not a profession for you according to. And even mere Purohits cannot do any justification to the Vedas, I tell you. Don't be under the wrong impression that Purohits can protect the Vedas. No, they can't. It is just for the sake of taking out their livelihood, Purohits are using the Vedas, nothing more than that. You should be passionate about it. Not you should be passionate about the texts, you should be passionate about the contents of the texts. Suppose we have piled up all the books on Vedas here. If you say all the Vedas are here, unless it is in your mind It is not the Vedas. It is just like a textbook, just like a tape recorder or some other medium which holds that information to some extent. And merely the text is also not the Veda, according to me. On the other hand, Veda is the knowledge contained in that particular text. Unless you grasp and receive that knowledge, probably Vedic study will not be complete. So in this way, Veda means multitasking. In the modern terminology, you can say multitasking. Nowadays, there is a craze for improving the systems which we purchase. And we are thinking of supercomputers or supercomputers, etc. How many people have understood that each one of us have been endowed with a far superior super system, which is given by God? Many times I tell my foreign students, India, if you want to learn about Indian culture, the first and foremost thing you must learn is, who are you? Or you ask the question, who am I? If you get the answer for that particular question, probably you will get the answer for everything. I ask them, just to make it clear to them, immediately if you say something about the spirit or the supreme Brahman who is pervading all of us, etc., they will not understand anything. I ask them, as soon as you buy a computer, what do you do? Sir, we'll bring that, one box is given and some instruments are given, we'll bring that and keep it on the table, okay. Is it working? No, it's not working. What should you do? You have to connect it via power source. So the power should flow into it. First of all, the box, that means the CPU, etc., which you get, is called the hardware. In that hardware, unless the energy flows into it, it will not work. Yes, energy has already flown. Is it working? The computer is on, but it's not working. So what you should do? Sir, we have to introduce some platform and also introduce some software, etc. Unless we install all those things, it will not work. That means artificially we are introducing into this a thinking power, mind. Let us say these are the three things. Then I ask the question, have you come across any computer so far? Ever come across a computer so far or a system so far which says, sir, today I am very much depressed and dejected, don't give me any work. Or today I am extremely happy, sir, give me any amount of work I give. Shall it say? Does it say like that? Then immediately they will laugh and say, sir, how can it say, sir? Yes, I want to ask you that question, sir. Why it doesn't say? Sir, it doesn't have this feeling, those feelings, etc. It doesn't have consciousness. I am extremely happy that you have recognized one more component which is required in the computer which is not available now. That is consciousness. That is what has been stated in Taittiriya Upanishad. Every human being is a wonderful supercomputer system. The hardware is the physical body with seven muscles, etc., and blood, meat, all these things. But at the same time, what happens? If mere body is there, it is called a corpse. There should be some energy which should be flowing into it, that is the pranic energy. It is called pranamaya kosha. First one is called annamaya kosha, second one is called pranamaya kosha. The third one is called the manomaya kosha. You have got a central processing unit here. How many of you are worried about the central processing unit here? Have you kept it in perfect health? Is it capable of doing all the things which it is capable of? Is it allowed to do those things? Are you using your memory power, brain power completely? Most of us are not using not even 5% or 10% of our power, brain power. So about the central processing unit. Then one more thing, as I told you just now, there is also we have got consciousness. And in addition to this consciousness, we have got the supreme consciousness, which is inherent in all of us, or which is present in all of us. So what happens? There are five levels in the human system. Very interesting thing in the human system is the end user of the system is himself. Whereas in the computer, the system is different, the end user is different. So, as the end users of our own system, is it not our bounden duty to understand the system perfectly? Should we not know what it can do and what it cannot do? What are its capabilities? How to navigate them? Or should we use our system just like a child? Nowadays, I think most of the children are so much fascinated by the cell phones you have. They better, many times they know how to navigate it better than us. As soon as the computer is brought, if it is curious, then it will use the mouse and at the same time it will click the mouse in different places without knowing where it has to be clicked, etc., etc. Sometimes the hard disk may also crash if it is not properly used. Then the Supreme Being who has given us this wonderful super system, he will say, I am not responsible for this, I cannot give you a warranty of 100 years. Because of misuse, it has been cracked. So, from that point of view, the study of the Vedas is meant for understanding yourself. Who are you? What are your capacities? Where you are born? Etc. etc. And you must also know the design of this particular system. Why he has designed you like this one? If I find 100 people or 200 people here, no one is absolutely similar to other person. Whereas in your computer system, what happens? You will say Pentium 5, Pentium 4, etc. You can classify. Here, no classification like that. Each system is unique. So, if it is designed in a unique way, should you not understand the design of the design? For these things, I think Veda helps. So, from this point of view, what I say is, a great task is ahead. We cannot simply waste our time. Many times people think they have got so much of time for wasting. Nowadays, after the advent of the information technology, probably people have no time for thinking at all. Am I right or wrong? And they have no life for their personal, they have no time for their personal life. It is always professional life that is more than that. And they cannot be happy also because they are substituting happiness by means of money. These are some of the cryptic statements, but kindly excuse me when I say something seriously. Because I am so much worried about the human beings, human systems, which are far more superior systems compared to all these supercomputer systems. And with all that, they have got a great responsibility of being Indians. They have been born in India. And many birds, animals and insects are born in India also. What is the difference between them and us? They are born as human beings. And in addition to that, they are also drawn into such organizations because of the blessings of the great Acharya Swamiji. And we want to know something about Vedas and preservation of the Vedas. Not only preservation of the Vedas, preservation of the Vedic traditions. Not only that, disseminating all the information available in the Vedas at various levels to the people at large, for the well-being of the people at large, all over the world, not in India. So, you have got a great responsibility. If you realize the responsibility, you will never take rest. So, my feeling is, please try to realize that responsibility. I think this organization is dedicated for that. And I feel this is the right place to mention these things. And whatever help I can do from my point of view, I am already aged about 80, completed 80 shortly. Age is against me. But if you, in Sanskrit there is a beautiful statement, Sanshana Bhavatogati. When you want to read the letters, you have to read it from right to left. So, my age is 80. That means age for learning is only 8, not 80. This cycle. I am learning now. Let us not bother about the age or something. As long as we are alive, can we do something for the field of knowledge? What type of knowledge? That's why it is said in the Vedas or in the Vedic texts written on the Vedas. Sa vidya yavumte haya saya aparam karma shilpa vidya anya shilpa naikum. That vidya or that knowledge which you acquire, which is conducive to spiritual emancipation, such a vidya is real vidya. All other skills you learn, they are just skills. They are just meant for eking out your livelihood, nothing more than that. So, my request to all of you is, please try to spare at least 2 hours or 3 hours every day, or at least 1 hour if possible, for the development of this knowledge, preservation of this knowledge, and preservation of the Vedic texts. And there is enormous amount of information, there is enormous amount of science in the Vedas, which we have not understood. Just though I mentioned one about the speech synthesis and speech recognition. In fact, I conducted a workshop, which was called Sanskrit and Computers. I had invited several Vedic scholars. They were all blaming me, why you have invited us? They were deputed by their officers. So they didn't have any other alternative than to attend it. And the alternative said, sir, why do you invite us? We have no business here. You are doing some research in computers. Then I said, you can contribute so much to speech synthesis and speech recognition as I told you just now. You don't know the capacity you possess. How the information available in the Vedas in various ways can be harnessed in the modern context also. That you have to learn, that's why I have invited you. And one more thing happened, Dr. Nagarajara had come, who is a great Vedic scholar who is residing somewhere near Shivoga now, dedicated to Vedas, such a wonderful scholar in Vyakarana and also Veda. And I was mentioning about the impact of the sounds to their succeeding sounds. When you use a word kamalam, how many letters are there? Kakara, akara, makara, akara, lakara and akara. From the point of view of a person who does speech recognition, he thinks there are 3 akara sounds here. A, a, ka, a after ka, and a after ma, and a after la. From my point of view, all the 3 akaras are totally different. I converted them into waves using some force. And if you replace the second akara by the first akara, the sound is totally different. Then they realize, sir, parachaya anukari, that's what Akashya Panini has stated, Patanjali has stated like this, that's what he told me, Nagarajara. Then I said, that's why I have invited you to come to this seminar. I don't have so much of knowledge as you possess about Vyakarana. But using the modern gadgets, you can also prove that the knowledge possessed by a great scientist, Padini, is wonderful. I have created another small software. It is called Wave Join Program, I call it. You use the word Madhu and then Ari. If you put them together, if the Sandhi takes place, how it is pronounced? Madhvarihi. Just because Pandi has stated, should I follow this rule? That was my question. So what I did was, I converted Madhu into a wave, and Ari also into a wave, and join them in the computer. I wrote a program to join these 2 waves. The computer pronounces it as Madhvari. So there is a scientific basis for what Panini says. That's what I am telling you. I just mentioned this and complete my lecture, I will show you some of the video clippings which I have brought here. I will not say anything about that, just listen to that, you will understand. So, what happens? Madhu, dhakara is a dental sound, dha. That's why you must know where the letters are born in the speech box. And ukara is a labial sound, u. Without the lip movement of the lips, you cannot pronounce that. And akara is a guttural sound. It is generated here, a. When there is space in between madhu and harihi, you can pronounce that very clearly, no problem. But if the space is completely removed, madhurihi, madhuri, madhuri, automatically it becomes madhuri. Even if you pronounce it fast, that means the effort first will go to this dental sound dha. From there, it should go to ukara and then it has to come to akara. There is not that much time. So what happens? It touches a letter which is in between, namely vakara. Va is a dentolabial sound. Va. That means your teeth should touch the lips. Lip, otherwise it cannot be pronounced. So in between that vakara is situated. Dha, va, u. So it goes up to vakara and comes back to akara. Because there is not much time to go up to that. So this is the scientific reasoning also. So Pandya had all this information in his mind. He was the greatest scientist according to him. Once I was mentioning all these things to Dr. Raja Ramanna before he died 15 days earlier. Then he said, Lakshmidharja, this all not grammar, this all physics. That's what he told. So from that point of view, every bit of the Veda is relevant to the modern world. Because we are all human beings. We have got some basic needs and we have got the basic ideas also. They can never be obliterated in this world. And Veda confines to all those things and we are building on layers and layers on those things only. So from that point of view, never forget the Vedas, never give up the study of the Vedas, but at the same time when you are studying the Vedas, do it strictly according to the system prescribed to study the Vedas. With these words, I conclude my lecture. Now I ask Mr. Narasimha to show some of the video clippings. And in addition to that, I want to tell you, I will take another 5 minutes with me. Now, I have taken up a very important project, probably which would have been enabled even our Swamiji if he were alive. It is called Knowledge Tree Project. Just now you mentioned about the importance of Om and importance of pronouncing the Vedic chanting, etc. There I have taken Om as the primordial sound. In the Bhagavad Gita it has been stated, Urdhva-mula-mathasya-sam-ashvattham-prabhurti. The knowledge tree has come to us from the heavens. So it is Urdhva-mula. The roots are at the heaven and all the trees spread to this world. So it is an inverted tree. According to Indian knowledge systems, every Indian knowledge system is an integral part of this whole knowledge tree. Any information cannot be put anywhere. In the West, there is so much of compartmentalization of knowledge. And a person who is an expert in a particular domain, he will say, all the other domains I don't care, etc., etc. In India, it is not like that. All the knowledge systems have got their aligned knowledge systems. They have to be put together in a specific way. And each and every leaf of this knowledge has got its own specific place. You cannot take this leaf and place it here and take this leaf and place it there. So, it is an integral part of the knowledge tree. In that way, I want to build up the Indian knowledge systems. In Indian knowledge systems, I have mentioned about the Omkara. From Omkara, we have four Vedas. From four Vedas, we have got six Sanghas. And from six Sanghas, we have got 14 Vidyas, Upavedas also. And 18 Vidyas, 64 Kalas, and 532 Kalas now. And probably there may be more things also. And if I struggle very hard, probably I can bring any knowledge system of the world, not only Indian knowledge systems, in a tree structure, so that searching in the Google will be very much helpful. And it is one click for getting that in particular knowledge at one click, that's what I have mentioned. So, if possible, I will show you a few portions of that, a samples of that. And also, I have collected information about sciences, Indian sciences. I have put all the modern sciences in the tree structure. And under those heads, I am putting all the Indian science trees. And that also you can see. Probably it may take another half an hour or something. I will just show you samples. If people who are interested in joining hands in this particular Jnana Yajna, all of you are welcome. No caste or creed, no distinction or anything. We are all working for the sake of knowledge. Knowledge is Veda, nothing more than it. We can enlive the Vedas again, and we can enlive the Vedas together. Sahana avatu, sahana upunaktu, sahaviriyam karavavahe. This is most important from my point of view. Let us do it and achieve remarkable and spectacular success. Thank you very much.
As a part of today's Veda Jignasa program, you have heard a scholarly talk
by Sri M.A. Lakshmi Tatachar. This was delivered as a part of the series of talks as a part of the Veda Poshana program conducted by the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations, Karnataka.
With the humble prayer that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration, we shall conclude today's class with the Kshama Prarthana Mantram. Om Yadakshara Padabhrashtam Matra Heenantu Yad Bhavet Tatsarvam Kshamyatam Deva Narayana Namostute Visargabindu Matrani Padapadaksharani Cha Nyunani Cha Tiriktani Kshamasvasaishvara Aparadha Sahasrani Kiyante Harnishanmaya Dasoyammiti Mamatva Kshamasvasaishvara Anyadha Sharanam Nasti Tvameva Sharanam Mama Tasmat Karunya Bhavena Raksharaksha Saishvara Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Saishvara Arpanamastu. From a few moments from now, you will be listening to the live Telugu segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jari. Sai Ram, stay tuned to Asia Stream. Sai Ram and happy listening.